You're listening to Inner Demons, the comic book podcast based on Marvel's very own spirit of vengeance, Ghost Rider. Here we will discuss comics, news, movie and TV appearances, and everything in between. And now, here are your hosts on this fiery road to hell, Chris Munn and Brian Biggie. Let's ride.
Welcome, everyone, to the newest episode of Inner Demons. I am one of your hosts, Chris Munn, and with me, as always, is Brian Heartbreaker Biggie. What is up, Brian?
What's going on, Chris? How you feeling, my brother?
I'm a little under the weather right now, so if you notice a change in my voice, that would be why. But vengeance waits for no man, so here we are punishing through to get another new episode out. We've got four comics to review today. We're going to be looking at Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History number 6, Avengers issues 23 and 24, and going way back to 1995 for Ghost Rider 2099 number 15.
Yep.
All right, we're just going to jump right into our reviews. We don't have any news to get into this week. All right, I don't know if any of us are ready for this, but Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History number 6. Written by Paul Scheer and Nick Giovanetti, with artwork by Todd Knock. I'm just going to go Knock. Yeah. Okay. So, this issue opens up with this, essentially the events of New Avengers number one. Brian Bendis' first New Avengers number one from like 2003 or 4, whenever it was, 2005 maybe, I don't remember, where Matt Murdock and Luke Cage and Jessica Drew go down to the raft. Right as there's a breakout, Electro breaks all the villains out. And they go into this, they go to this cell, where in the original New Avengers story, the cell held the Sentry, who everyone had forgotten. And this time, it's Frank Castle, Cosmic Ghost Rider, that's in this cell. And it continues with essentially the plot of New Avengers number 1, 2, and 3, where Carnage attacks and Foggy Nelson convinces Cosmic Ghost Rider to come out, and he takes Carnage and rips him in half in outer space. And then a day later, Iron Man meets with the Illuminati. There's Doctor Strange, Mr. Fantastic, Professor X, Black Bolt, and Namor. And, you know, Iron Man asks, what do you know about Cosmic Ghost Rider? Crazy old man with a flaming skull, kind of like Ghost Rider, but extra. And Doctor Strange says, someone's been tampering with their brains without their permission. Days later in the Nevada desert, the Avengers, the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, they all arrive at this cave where Frank is sitting there drinking beer. And, you know, they say, like, you know, you, according to our files, you've been fighting alongside us for years. You were there when the Fantastic Four were born. You helped the X-Men, Spider-Man, some of their darkest moments. You were with Captain America, World War II. But none of us remember you. Who are you? And he says, I'm Frank Castle. They're like, Punisher Frank Castle? And he says, kinda, I'm from the future with a few extra bells and whistles. I got stuck back in the past. I said I was going to save my family. I had time to kill, so I messed around with history. And then he tells what happened on the day his family died. You know, that Uatu tried to stop him and couldn't talk him out of it, you know, saying that that it was going to destroy the universe. So using the Infinity Gauntlet, Uatu resurrects all the dead mobsters and freezes Frank in place so his family can be killed. And then he says the Watcher scrubbed his memory and locked him away in the raft, and the world forgot him until recently. And he says that now I'm not going to join the Avengers. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to wait. And then it flashes forward years later to the events of the original Sin crossover, where Nick Fury killed the Watcher and took his eyes. But before Nick, at the standoff between Fury and the Watcher, Cosmic Ghost Rider arrives and decides to get his revenge. and he kills the Watcher and gives Nick Fury the eye. So Original Sin, there's the answer. Cosmic Ghost Rider killed the Watcher. But then it flashes forward even more years to super space, the hidden star fields of Sector X on the Sanctuary, former ship of Thanos, where Cosmic Ghost Rider has been telling this whole story over drinks with Corsair the Starjammers and Beta Ray Bill. And so whether all this happened or not, you know, Beta Ray Bill's like, I don't think it happened like that. And he's like, it happened exactly that way then. Nothing was exaggerated, mark my words. And then Star Fox comes in and says, can you come in? We're going to start reading Thanos' will. And then they all leave, and that leads straight into Guardians of the Galaxy number one. And that is where this batshit bizarre miniseries decides to end. All right, Brian, what did you think of CGRDMH number six?
Yikes. I know, I always laugh every time you say it that way. You know, I'll be honest, I'm glad this is the last issue we're doing for the reviews for this one. I just think this issue and the series as a whole was just a huge waste of time in every facet possible. The only thing I really can appreciate, other than one or two things, has been the art by Todd Knock. You know, I think it's just been really consistently great throughout. So, but overall, I'm just very disappointed with this series' outcome and the way things progressed throughout. I didn't really enjoy myself. Even times where you were appreciating some of the humor and a couple of the setup, I was not. So it just was not kind of... something that was a great series, and it's frustrating because I think it's kind of a dark mark on that particular character so early in its inception, you know. But anyway, you know, a few things I enjoyed about it real quick is, you know, I did like when they brought back, you know, Spider-Man being embarrassed by his rogues gallery causing problems and having to clean up the mess. You know, that seemed pretty in character for Spidey. I didn't even mind Canadian Spider-Man and his outfit in this one, with the maple leaf spider. That was pretty funny. You know, and there's a couple scenes, you know, that I thought were neat where once Cosmic Ghost Rider breaks out of the raft, he drags Carnage to space and Carnage gets kind of, you know, destroyed or whatever. You know, that was well done. It was well handled. And the frustrating part for me is there's basically a line where it says he's talking, he meaning Cosmic Ghost Rider, is talking to the heroes in the raft, and he's saying, or maybe it might be the cave later on, he says, listen, my family's death wasn't important, but I became something else, helped Galactus, blah, blah, blah. And if it stopped right there, it's a pretty compelling premise because he went from being the Punisher and his family not, you know, his family's death not being significant to history, to now that he becomes a Cosmic Ghost Rider in the far future, that does become an important part of history. It becomes like a milestone of space and time, which is kind of interesting. But where it loses it for me is that he goes on to the next sentence right after that, ooh, which is, well, I got bored, I messed around with time. And, you know, I know that's kind of a way of building dramatic tension, is that, yeah, it's shaking up the status quo, of course, but that's where I lose it, because it's so tenuous, it's so ridiculous, and it just bugs me throughout. The humor doesn't land for me, the Silence of the Lambs jokes, the opening banter is horrible, Atlantean Nick Cage, there's all these things that just doesn't work for me. I was trying to, the series for me is not funny, it never has been, and it's frustrating because it's written by a funny guy, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating. There's even a line where I think it's Frank Castle goes, well, 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 when he sees all the heroes. And that's, you know, in screenwriting, that's sometimes the worst thing you could put into a story, because ooh, it just means you don't know how to start a conversation.
Yeah.
So I've seen shows use that as a gag, you know, well, 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 you know. But it's just a huge waste of time. The last thing I'll say is, I'm trying to think about the premise of this specific issue, because now I've gone back and read Original Sin. You know, I've gone back to, you know, so now I have a little bit more context, and I still hate this issue. You know, it's a huge waste of time. I'm trying to think. So Castle is in the raft, and then Matt Murdock and Luke Cage and everybody visit him, and then Carnage gets out and he busts out into space, which it doesn't seem like anything could really keep him in the raft anyway. He was kind of like a self-imposed exile.
Yeah, yeah. Right? He was there because he wanted to be.
So then he just flies away into whatever space, or no, he flies away and he stays in the cave. The heroes come to confront him and he tells them to go away. And then he says, I'm just going to wait here for a while. Nothing makes any sense about that whole premise at all. It's just one of the worst storylines I could have imagined for an issue, because there's no movement. There's no momentum in that. It's just, you know, someone's in jail, they bust out, and then they tell people to go away. So I think just overall, it's just kind of it's a disaster. But but yeah. So that is my take on it. What did you think?
Okay. So as with all the other issues in this miniseries, this is just piggybacking off of older comics, specifically Brian Bendis's New Avengers. The opening two arcs for that, I did think it was kind of clever that... Have you ever read the Bendis New Avengers stuff, like the very first story arc of that? Okay.
No, I haven't.
So, the whole thing with Cosmic Ghost Rider being in the raft and him being in that cave and everything, that's taken almost word for word from Bendis's New Avengers stuff, except it's the Sentry.
Sentry. Right.
And I did think that was clever by taking the Sentry, by just switching them. I thought that was kind of interesting. But in the end, this is a comic book that's written... a lot of the good stuff in this was written by another writer and just transposed onto this. And the stuff that's not from that is just lame jokes.
Yeah.
And, just... The series has been, it's been a colossal failure. Like, there's, and it sets up, it's supposedly a comedy series, but then it sets up this thing with the Watcher murdering Castle's family, and it's just so dark, and it's so out of place from everything that's going on around it. I just, the whole thing with him sitting in the cave, it's just, it's like, okay, I know we need to eat up time, so, I don't know. I did think the original Sin thing was kind of clever, because, at least in this instance, Cosmic Ghost Rider would know about what happens in Original Sin. He would know the whole thing about Nick Fury and the Watcher, because the Punisher was a part of that story. He was a part of the original, the actual Original Sin crossover. You know, he knew all about the Watcher being murdered, so I thought that was kind of clever. But then, then you get to the very end, the very last page, where it turns out this whole thing may just been Ghost Rider just making it all up. You know, he's hanging out with Corsair and Beta Ray Bill, and this is directly before Guardians of the Galaxy number one. So I can see where this is. Where it could be just interpreted as a joke. But that Todd Knox artwork is the best thing about this. It's been the best thing about this series consistently.
I agree.
And I like how he draws Cosmic Ghost Rider. I like the thing with him and Carnage. But overall, this comic is just... This comic, like this entire series, was a colossal waste of time. And there's nothing else. That's about all I have to say about that one.
I mean, the last thing I'll say about it, and you know, thankfully so, because it's been a while since we've started talking about this, these issues, is that to me, this really felt like this, you know, in a perfect world, this could have been maybe a 2 or 3 issue a story that actually could have had a little bit of weight to it, a little bit of pathos, maybe not a humorous story, but, you know, maybe it could have been written in a different way with the Frank Castle trying to go back in time and save his family, because that's a logical thing to believe. But the fact that they turned it into a 6-issue comedy series with an extremely dark ending about Frank Castle having to watch his children and his family getting shot to death again without any ability to help. That's extremely dark, extremely off, you know, off-putting for I think a lot of readers. And maybe it's just us, Chris, but there's a lot of readers who really love this series.
I know.
Maybe we missed the mark.
I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah.
Had this been taken as more of a serious, I mean, it could still have some humor in it, but
yeah,
taken as a serious premise, I don't know. This could have worked a lot better than it did. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you go through and you do the whole thing with him trying to save his family in the park, take out all of the stupid stories of him throughout history with the Marvel heroes, and just make it to where the Watcher comes and says, no, you can't save your family because blah, 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 blah. And then that happens, and then you make the rest of the miniseries about him trying to get vengeance on the Watcher. And I think that would have made, and you could even end it with the Original Sin thing, but just have like failed attempts, you know, over the years. I think that would have been a much stronger premise than what we got. I think this was failed. This was a failure from conception forward. Like there was nothing, hardly anything redeemable about this at all.
Absolutely. Yep. And it's a shame too, because I think going into it, if we probably rewind the clock and go back and listen to probably some of our earlier episodes, we were probably, at least myself, I was very interested in seeing what they were going to do with this based on the creative team, but it just unfortunately just didn't work for me. It sounds like you as well. Absolutely. You know, so.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to move on, and thankfully we will never have to review another issue of Cosmic Ghost trying to destroy his Marvel history. We stalled so hard to review this last one. Like, we should have done it episodes ago, but we just couldn't bring ourselves to do it. All right, but we're going to move on to our next review. Challenge of the Ghost Riders Part 2, Hellray 666 in Avengers number 23, written by Jason Aaron with artwork by Stefano Caselli. It opens up with She-Hulk and Thor arriving back at Avengers Mountain. That the mountain has now become possessed because the exorcism of Robbie's car went wrong. Hellstrom is outside trying to communicate with the demon and exorcise it out of the mountain while it's slowly possessing like Iron Man armors to fight Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and Blade. Meanwhile, in Hell, after a little brief history of Ghost Rider, Spirits of Vengeance always finding each other to race. There was the prehistoric one that rode the Mammoth. Noble Kale, the Puritan Rider, once raced across the colonies against Chief Hellhawk, the Lakota soul dancer for the soul of the New World. Near as anybody can tell, they both lost. And then you got the Brothers of Vengeance, Blaze and Ketch. We've always been racing. It's in our blood, along with the Hellfire. And in Hell, Robbie's just sitting on the roof of his car. Blaze comes back up. He says, you got the part where I said this was a race, right? And he says, the challenge of the Ghost Riders has started, kid. Best get your engine firing. And Johnny's still trying to convince him to do it. And he says, you know, you really are the worst Ghost Rider ever. You know that? Look around. You know what this place is? This is Hell, Robbie Reyes, the kingdom of the damned. And the death-defying Johnny Blaze, the greatest stunt biker to ever make a deal with the devil, is the king of it all. And said that all of the other demons in Hell are trying to take the job from him. And if he doesn't get all of the Ghost Rider powers for himself, Mephisto's going to come back and take over the throne again. When Robbie still won't do it, Blaze chains him up and threatens to take his little brother Gabe for a ride in Hell. And that finally spurs Robbie to transform into the Ghost Rider, and they start your race. And Blaze goes, congratulations, kid. You just made your first deal with the devil. And they go racing through Hell. Johnny says, now you're a Ghost Rider. Hellstrom is still communicating with the demon that's possessed Avengers Mountain, but then he says, I see death heaping mounds of bodies. Whoever he is, he may very well be the finest mass murderer the world has ever known. But he's not of this time. Not exactly. He was pulled into Hell by King Blaze. But before that, he served. He's not a demon at all. He's, oh, devil damned Hell. And the mountain comes to life and starts moving.
And they're saved by the mini man thing, the boy thing, who causes the mountain to burn at its touch. The power surge, the invading spirit is fighting to return to its natural form, and it power surges into an area of the mountain where She-Hulk and Thor are. And they are confronted by a flaming being. Back in hell, Johnny Blaze and Robbie are racing, and he uses some demons, Johnny does, to fire zombie cannons at Robbie and causes him to wreck. And says, Johnny says, "Sorry, Robbie, nothing personal. This is just business. I'm sure your brother will understand." And Robbie gets out of his car and he says, "What am I going to do now?" He's confronted by a group of Ghost Riders from history, including the prehistoric Ghost Rider, the undead G-Man, Knuckles O'Shaughnessy, Noble Kale, and several others from Jason Aaron's previous Ghost Rider run. And they say, "You race or you die, kid. That's the Ghost Rider way, and that's the only way you're going to beat Blaze." Back on Earth, the Flaming Spirit easily takes down Thor and She-Hulk, and Hellstrom's telling them over their headsets that, you know, this isn't a demon. It did come from hell, the hell of the future. He was a herald of Galactus and a butcher for Thanos. He's a spirit of vengeance with the power cosmic. It's the cosmic Ghost Rider. And he says, "My name's Frank Castle. I'm the guy who's here to murder the Avengers. I won't lie, this is gonna get messy." And that's where this issue ends.
So, Brian, what did you think of Avengers number 23?
It's funny. I hadn't read this in a month or two, but going back and reading Avengers 23, or maybe whenever it came out, it feels like it's been about a month or so. I really enjoy this one. I mean, there's a lot of Ghost Rider content to it. You know, it's probably one of the reasons why I liked it so much, even though I like the current Avengers lineup. I was impressed with this. I'm curious how non-Ghost Rider fans are liking this, because this is kind of the second arc of this year that has really kind of featured Robbie Race as a very key figure, you know. Because that they had the War of the Vampires, and they had him sort of being involved with that in a big way. And now it's back again. Now we have three or four issues with Robbie trying to get rid of the curse and everything like that. And that's pretty compelling. Some of our listeners don't like Jason Aaron. Some of our listeners don't like what they're doing with Robbie Reyes and Uncle Eli. Others do. You know, I'm falling in the latter camp at the moment. I do like kind of what's happening here, but the threat of the cursed celestial is an interesting concept with the whole Uncle Eli and the possession and stuff like that. Let me clarify it in their headquarters. That's what I mean, because they're in the headquarters of Avengers Mountain or whatever they call it, and the fact that it's weeping blood and it's getting ready to possibly start moving and causing damage, like that's a pretty interesting thing. And I didn't think I would say that after the first big Celestials arc we were kind of done with. But that was pretty interesting, you know, because now we've had 20 issues where it's kind of been their home base. It's been we've seen all the cool things they can do, and suddenly this thing that's a sanctuary for them could kill them. And I thought that was an interesting concept. I do like the fact that the Avengers are working together to obviously to stop what's happening, but also to help Robbie, which is, I think it puts a lot of priority for his character. So he's the new guy on the block, but he's also in a card carrying member of the team, and they really respect him, you know, which is more than we can say for some of the other teams that the Ghost Rider has been involved over the years, champions. It's one of those things where I liked Carol Danvers sticking up for Robbie, making sure that they get him back, they get him safe. I thought that was interesting. I did like the symbols on their hazmat suits, you know.
Yeah.
That symbol I've seen that other places, but it's been made popular by the TV show Supernatural. It's like an anti-possession symbol, so that's and some of our listeners picked up on that too, so that was pretty cool. I did like Jason Aaron going back to tie it to the Legacy of the Riders story that he did about 10 years ago. You know, that as well as the Caveman Ghost Rider, and more importantly, he's name dropping Noble Kale as the Puritan era spirit kind of thing. And and even the Brothers of Vengeance. And I know some of our listeners don't like the fact that Noble Kale has taken a backseat to a lot of the other current versions of Danny Ketch's character and stuff like that, you know. And we'll see what happens with the Ed Brisson series, clearly, you know, with who's the possessing spirit. Is it just Danny? Is Noble there somehow? Whatever. But he's clearly name-dropped here, and he appears in these storylines, which is very interesting. They show him fighting in that era, you know, against like a Native American Ghost Rider, which is
Chief
very cool.
Chief Hillhawk.
I loved it. I thought that was really awesome seeing him in there. So he's clearly not forgotten about. Maybe it's not the way that some fans want him to be, but he's there. I don't think Aaron has forgotten about that important part of the Ghost Rider lore, which is impressive to me because the lore can be can bog down writers a lot of times.
Yeah.
I think the art, the Caselli kills it, especially with when he draws the Spirits of Vengeance. And specifically the body language of many of the characters in this, you know, you really, even if you didn't see people's faces, which is great how he does it, just their body language is very expressive. You know, when you have Johnny Blaze in Hell talking to Robbie, you know, he's like trying to implore him. He's trying to go, listen, you know, it's, you know, if I win, it's going to be win the race. It's going to be the best thing that could happen. And then you don't have to worry about it. It's like this, you can see his body language. It's very expressive. And then he gets pissed off. He's like, okay, listen, kid, you know, and you can really kind of feel that it's a conversation. It's not just static figures in a room, you know, just emoting, you know, I thought that was, it's an underrated thing, but I thought it was really, very, really well done. The reason for their racing in Hell, the challenge of the Ghost Rider, so to speak. Blaze is trying to increase his power to keep the demons in check, but I like the fact that he could also just be telling himself that, you know, because he's, the longer he's down there, it's kind of changing him a little bit. You know, that doesn't make him a villain, but he's definitely not a full hero anymore. Like, something's happening right now, which I thought was kind of a cool moment. And the fact that Robbie fights back with Blaze, and he very often he dissolves back into his vehicle, you know, and you see that a few times where he kind of steps out of the driver's seat, steps into his car, and he just kind of like materializes into it. Very, very subtle, very well done. I thought that was really great. You know, I'm starting to really like the boy thing, as silly as a concept as it is. He's cute. He's very much like in a Groot kind of a character right now.
Yes.
You know, but he helped out a lot in these couple issues. And believe it or not, we just finished talking about Cosmic Ghost Rider, the last issue.
Here he is
but
again.
I actually liked his, he's here again. I actually liked his intro in this one, believe it or not, because of, you know, the way he appears and the reveal that it's him. I'm sure a lot of readers saw that coming from a mile away. I was sort of caught up in the story, wasn't thinking exactly it was him. So I thought that was pretty great moment. And last but not least, I just love the Ghost Rider family that's down in Hell. The group of all the past riders there, and they're kind of there to give Robbie some guidance. And I thought that was a really nice touch. Overall, I didn't have much bad to say about it. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a fantastic issue. First off, I love Caselli's artwork in this. I love his depiction of Hell. I love the way he's got Johnny Blaze and Robbie Reyes. And he doesn't draw them as just being the same generic type of Ghost Rider. They have their differences. You know, Robbie has his more helmeted look with the flames coming out of his mouth and his exhaust vent. And then you have traditional Johnny Blaze. Everything about the race in Hell is just handled really, really well. Including when you get to all the past Ghost Riders. And you get to see like the undead G-Man and the Hell Rider and
Knuckles.
Yeah, Knuckles O'Shaughnessy. And ones that you can definitely recognize, Baron Skullfire, from Aaron's previous work on the character. It's really great. This story arc is very much like a love letter to Aaron's previous Ghost Rider work, which if you were a big fan of that, like we were, then you love seeing this stuff. If you didn't like it, which a lot of fans didn't, then this stuff you might be like, oh God, not this again.
You're right.
And you know, I do understand that a lot of Robbie fans aren't digging this because it's pulling Robbie back toward being more of a traditional Ghost Rider and taking away some of his more unique attributes. But still, I think as a way to contrast between Johnny and Robbie down in Hell, I think it's handled really well. You know, Robbie doesn't want to do it until Johnny tries talking to him like a friend, tries to convince him until finally he gets frustrated and threatens his brother. And that's the one way you trigger Robbie Reyes, is to threaten his brother Gabe. So I think it's illustrating that something's off with Johnny. So Johnny Blaze is not acting the way that we're used to seeing him. And then you've got the Avengers Mountain stuff, which I thought was handled really well. I didn't realize it was Cosmic Ghost Rider either until the page with Thor and She-Hulk, when they confront his, where he's turned into a physical being. At that point, I was like, oh, wait, okay, I think I figured this out. And
And Hellstorm starts referencing it too. He says, oh, this isn't what we think it is.
Which, from what I assumed going into this and other, and for what the next issue says, so Cosmic Ghost Rider was the being that was possessing Robbie's car. Blaze took Castle and put him in the car.
Right.
And then when they tried to exorcise it, they were actually exorcising Castle from the car, moved it to the mountain until he was able to take his physical form back.
Right.
But I think it's really cool.
And not Uncle Eli. It wasn't Eli all along, like a lot of
It was Cosmic Ghost Rider, which I wonder when, I don't think though at the beginning of the last issue when the car was talking, I don't think that was Cosmic Ghost Rider because it didn't sound anything like him. I think that might have been Johnny Blaze himself. But yeah, I think the whole concept of the challenge of the Ghost Riders, where if there's more than one Ghost Rider around, they're going to want to race. And I think that's clever because back in Aaron's Road, you did have the race between Danny Ketch and Johnny Blaze. It's a neat concept. I think it's really cool.
And you know what's funny is that I bet you there, we probably have some of our younger listeners probably, if they're not digging this, they might go, well, you know, it's basically a four issue setup for just a Fast and Furious in hell, and it's just, you know, and we'll see what happens at the end of it. But you know, with the last issue of the arc, but it's, if you kind of go back even to the 70s series, racing was really a big part of it. I mean, think of Death Race, you know, as the primary example, and with kind of a no rules, no holds barred tournament for very high stakes, you know. So even though some fans might not dig the, oh, it's just a glorified race, just a cannonball run or something in hell, you know, but it's very in keeping with what the characters do when they don't have evil to fight, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's almost like that's kind of part that's in their DNA along with Hellfire. I thought that was, you know, I'm not a huge like racing movie fan, but I think that's kind of a interesting concept where you have the riders. It's almost like even from the dawn of time, they found someone to race. It's like, it's part of the thing. You know what I mean? So, but that's all I was going to say about it.
Yeah. I think that wraps up everything that I had to say about this issue.
Yep.
All right, so but we're going to move on to Avengers number 24, which is part 3 of Challenge of the Ghost Riders, titled Cosmic Ghost Rider versus the Avengers, written by Jason Aaron with artwork by Stefano Caselli and Luciano Vecchio. It starts off with Robbie Reyes in hell having a conversation with all the past Ghost Riders, and they said that Johnny has been a rider for too long, and that Blaze is lying about wanting to keep have all the Ghost Rider's power to keep the peace in hell. If Blaze gets this power, he's going to be the devil in every way. Robbie gets in the Hell Charger and goes back on the race. Back at Avengers Mountain on Earth, Cosmic Ghost Rider has no idea where he's at, but he's fighting Thor and She-Hulk. He says, where am I? Why was I wanting to murder the Avengers? Last thing I remember, I was in hell with that Blaze fella acting like he was Mephisto or something. And it starts off with this really, really great fight scene between Cosmic Ghost Rider, Hulk, and Thor, where Ghost Rider's just going to town on him. They blast him into Tony Stark's workshop, where he's attacked by Captain Marvel. Robbie comes across Blaze's demon hordes, but they are stopped by the Ghost Riders, the past Ghost Riders, who give Robbie the chance to ride through them.
And Robbie is able to catch up with Blaze, and he runs over him with the Hell Charger. But Robbie is then stopped by the Celestial from the final host, Callus the Void, that was killed by the Avengers, specifically Robbie. But it's not Callus the Celestial in possession of the body. It is Eli Morrow, who has been given the body by Blaze to stop Robbie. In Avengers Mountain, Captain Marvel fights Ghost Rider, but he uses Castle uses Iron Man's tech to build a gun, and then he calls his bike. And Captain America and Black Panther use the power of Avengers Mountain in their suits to punch Blaze, or to punch Castle. Blade and Hellstrom are just watching, but when Castle sets fire to the boy thing, Blade steps in and shoots him with the breathing gun, which actually hurts him. Which that stops the fight, and you know, he's like, "Why are you guys working for Blaze?" And they're like, "Johnny Blaze, why would you think the Avengers would be working with the King of Hell?" And you know, Castle says, "Oh, my bad. I think I just got turned around. You know, he sent me into the car. So he was the one possessing Robbie's car, and then he jumped from the car into Avengers Mountain before he could get his body back on Earth. They need to go to Hell to help Robbie, and Hellstrom refuses. The Cosmic Ghost Rider is like, you know, I'm going to help you get into Hell. I've just made up my mind. I'm going to go kill Johnny Blaze now. This is a challenge of the Ghost Rider, so if you people want to join in, we're going to need to build you one very important thing, a sweet-ass ride. Robbie is being chased by Callus, Eli Morrow in Callus's body, and when Robbie stops to confront him, he sees the spirits of his dead parents. And using the distraction, Eli destroys the Hell Charger, allowing Johnny Blaze to ride past him, saying, "Tough break, Robbie, but hey, don't worry. Once I win this race and take your power, I'll make sure to bring the rest of your family to join you in Hell." And that is where this issue ends.
So what did you think of Avengers number 24?
I mean, this continues a lot of the same, things I enjoyed about the last one. It's not a perfect issue. There's a few minor things here and there, but that overall was pretty good. I do love the fact that we see that the Ghost Rider family in Hell yet again. We see Knuckles O'Shaughnessy and the gang trying to help Robbie. They're trying to help Robbie in some ways, and I love that kind of keeps them at the forefront. That keeps them involved. And they kind of give a little bit of a tease of what their existence is like, you know, because they have no way of resting because of their ties to the spirit kind of thing. And I'm sure there are, like we said last issue, there are probably some fans who are pissed off the fact that there's more than one. There's more than one Ghost Rider. Why is there? Because many fans grew up for many, many years. Johnny Blaze was unique because he was the only one that we knew of. He was just the Ghost Rider, you know, now there's, it's like the Green Lantern Corps. They're everywhere, you know? And at times that can be handled very poorly. I think in this instance, it's pretty well handled. Because if every character in the book has a flaming skull, who cares? The main character is diluted. It doesn't work anymore. You know, we've seen some issues where everybody is a Ghost Rider and who cares? You know what I mean? Even fans like us were like, okay, all right. Because it's too much. Because now, even though it's a great visual, you now have someone who's not unique anymore. You know, Blaze, Catch, all these people are not unique because it's just a power, you know, but it is what it is, you know. I got to say, the Cosmic Ghost Rider scene with Mjolnir and Thor and She-Hulk, to me, that sequence was funnier than anything I read in the 6-issue storyline of Destroys Marvel History.
I
was laughing. It was such a dumb gag with the, basically for listeners who haven't read the issue, you know, you have the hammer in his head and it's like his jaw can't move, so he's kind of mumbling through stuff and you could barely make out what he's saying, but if you try hard enough you can get his dialogue. Like, I was cracking up, you know, and it's a little thing. Mm-hmm. It's only a page or two, but it cracked me up, just that concept of the disembodied head causing problems, causing havoc. And how they deal with him is She-Hulk and Thor get the gamma lightning. And I thought that was really kind of a neat concept. Them working together, kind of having a power that hasn't really been seen before, which is cool.
Yeah.
there is a moment with the Cosmic Ghost Rider where he kind of reminds me of, there's a pro wrestler in the WWE named R-Truth who always, his character, he always gets stuff wrong in his interviews, and he says the wrong people's names that he's going to fight or whatever, and then they have to go, listen, that's not what's happening. And he goes, my bad, guys, my bad. And that's his, like, it's like a gimmick. It's like a funny gag. Mm-hmm. Cosmic Ghost Rider does this at this point. He goes, you know what, guys? My mistake. I totally goofed. It's on me. You know, and he's just like, you know, because the whole, the Blaze thing. So I had a big laugh at that. We never know. I mean, Jason Aaron is a big pro wrestling fan, so you never know if that was a little bit of an influence. But it's not a perfect issue. There's a few things that I didn't like about it. I mean, minor stuff. It was really picayune stuff, you know. Cosmic Ghost sort of gets knocked into the armory, Tony Stark's armory, and he builds a gun, and that's, he didn't have enough time to do so, you know, so he just kind of whips out a makeshift Stark tech weapon, and there was literally no time for him to do that. So that was, you know, if you look at the sequences, it doesn't make any sense, because as soon as he gets knocked in there, Captain Marvel goes to confront him. So it was a cool weapon. I thought that was really neat, but I mean, that's a minor thing. I was surprised that Robbie didn't know his parents were dead. Did you get that vibe too?
Yeah. I went back and read all New Ghost Rider not too long ago, and I think he did just say his parents were missing, but I may be misremembering. I think, you know, that his parents are dead and in hell. Was, yeah, it was a little out of nowhere. Because what did his parents do to go to hell? You know, that's, I think there's a story there of how they died, and they may go back and address that again. Aaron might, I don't know. But yeah, that, I thought that came kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, maybe it was just, that was poorly handled, because I'd imagine that, I don't know about you, but if you were powered up with this kind of entity, and your parents who you loved, and obviously loved them, Robbie and Gabe, excuse me, if you thought they were just missing, you do everything in the world to find them. You know, you now are on a team with superpowered beings who can locate the Reyes clan. You know what I mean? And the fact that it was revealed that they're dead, that was a little bit of, you know, it's not bad, but just it didn't work for me. You know, I guess I just always imagined or misremembered that they were deceased and Robbie was there to take care of his brother. It's more of a problem that they just were gone to me, but that's just, maybe that'll be revealed in time. Who knows? And now the last thing I'll say is, if you go back to the end of Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History, number 6, you have, which may or not be true at this point, you have Cosmic Ghost Rider Frank Castle talking to the heroes, and he's telling them his situation. But he meets a lot of the Avengers era heroes even back then. And
yeah,
so
that's true.
If that's to be taken as canon, which maybe to some fans it is, now he's fighting these guys and they have no idea if he's good or bad. So now that doesn't even jive even at that point, because you have Thor going, who is this guy? Now, Thor met him a couple years ago, theoretically, you know?
Yeah.
But doesn't remember. I mean, that's a small thing, but more of an editorial mishap. But overall, it's not as good as 23 to me, but I did enjoy this one. I like where it's going. What did you think?
Yeah, I liked this one too. I like the Cosmic Ghost Rider fights. You were talking about the part with where he's fighting She-Hulk and Thor, and his head is like stuck on Thor's hammer. So my 4-year-old son Johnny loves Cosmic Ghost Rider. Anytime a comic comes out that has Cosmic Ghost Rider in it, I have to read it to him as a bedtime story. And I read him this issue, and he thought that part was hilarious. With him not being able to talk correctly, and him blowing the fire at Thor, and his body punching She-Hulk. So as far as Johnny's concerned, my son, that scene was a hit. You know? But yeah.
You make sure you hold on to that issue too, Chris, because that way he can bring that issue to his therapist in 20 years' time when he says his dad got him into Ghost Rider when he was 3 years old.
Yeah,
You hang on to the issue. That's going to be an important thing for his doctor. No, no, I can't.
Exactly. It'll be a milestone. Yeah. But I really liked the fact that the Avengers really couldn't do anything to stop Cosmic Ghost Rider, even until Blade stepped up with the breathing gun that Hellstrom had given him. That was specifically made to kill demons. Mm-hmm. Like Blade says, it's the kind that puts holes in walking skeletons. And that was enough to give Castle pause to sort of stop and explain himself. I don't know. I really like Cosmic Ghost Rider's interaction. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just going to pretend the Destroys Marvel History miniseries has never happened. So the hero's not recognizing him is fine, because I don't want to acknowledge that series any more than I have to. But what I thought was a little less successful was the stuff in Hell. I really liked the meeting with the old Ghost Riders. Though there was the curious line where they're talking about the others, the other spirits of vengeance, and then the like the undead G-Man cuts it off, says, "Oh, there's no need to go into all that right now." That's obviously Aaron setting up another Ghost Rider arc for the future. Which, you know, okay, so as a Ghost Rider fan, I'm loving all these Ghost Rider-centered arcs in the Avengers. But I can imagine there's Avengers fans that don't care about Ghost Rider going, "Oh my god, get this stuff out of your system and move on to Avengers stories."
And not just that, Chris, but there's Ghost Rider fans who hate this storyline too.
Yeah, and that I get less. I don't quite get the hate for Jason Aaron that Avengers or that Ghost Rider fans have in some instances, because I think he's a fantastic Ghost Rider writer, Ghost Rider. I think he doesn't always land what he's trying to do, but you can tell he loves the characters. That he took the flagship Marvel book and has done two almost solely focused arcs for Ghost Rider. And he was a big part of the first arc as well. I think it really shows Aaron's love for the character and how much he has taken Robbie Reyes under his wing to advance his character.
I agree with that, but do you think that in some ways Aaron has kind of made Robbie into more a much more of a Danny Ketch kind of a character with his demeanor and his attitude, where if you go back to Felipe Smith's storylines, you have someone who's edgy, who's he had to get tough because he has to protect his family, you know what I mean? So there are times where he's just like with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, when they were casting that character, they wanted Robert Reyes to be the most dangerous person in the room. You just didn't know it because he was so quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and if you think of that as a concept, that's not here as a Robbie Reyes. Now, I like Robbie here, but I'm wondering if I like Robbie because I love Danny Ketch growing up, and he's very much kind of like this kind of young, kind of green, wet behind the ears, sort of like he's a new Ghost Rider, kind of learning the ropes. He's funny at times, like he's almost like a Spidey and Danny Ketch mashed up sort of thing. That might be some of the criticisms leveled at this character. He's not the exact same as he was beforehand, but if I can say one last thing about this, because I know I interrupted you,
fine.
I apologize, is that you have Felipe Smith, you know, introduced the character and had a great storyline with that, but he also had the five-issue series that it got canceled after five issues because it wasn't working well.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Robbie Reyes story. Yeah. They had lost their way with that. It was the new Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And it just was not working. So it's just one of those things where, I could see where people are upset, but I mean, I'm enjoying it, but yeah.
Yeah, I do agree that Robbie is more the rookie character. You know, he's toned down a lot from how he was characterized in his original series. And I could see where some Robbie fans probably don't appreciate that. But to me, I think you kind of had to do that to get him to fit in to this series because he was so antisocial. You know, you like that four on the floor story arc. You know, he did not want to work with other heroes. Here, you had to force him to, and I think having that aggressive, dangerous thing to him would have made that a lot more difficult. I think Aaron sort of took a square peg and fit it into a round hole. But I think it gave Robbie a good role in this series because who knows if Aaron hadn't picked Robbie up for this, the character may have just disappeared. Who knows? He may have been another Danny Ketch situation where he disappears until a writer picks him up years from now.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, yeah, that's pretty much all I've got to say about this one. I did like Uncle Eli at least coming back and having a presence again. I'm not sure why a celestial would go to hell, but still,
I thought that too,
it's still. I mean, I do think it's it was nice to have Eli back. That's about all I got to say about this one. I mean, I'm interested to see where it goes from here. I'm eager to read the conclusion. All right, our last comic of the episode. Ghost Rider 2099, number 15 from 1995. Written by Lynn Kaminsky with artwork by new incoming regular series artist Ashley Wood. And this picks up two rival street gangs, the Anarquistador and the Toxic Zombies, have gone to war with one another, fueled by this drug called White Heat that causes them to mutate out of control. Their fight is interrupted by the Ghost Rider, Zero Cochran, now acting as the Federal Marshal of Transverse City under Dr. Doom's presidency. He attempts to arrest the gangs, but a well-placed rocket blows a building down on top of him. Meanwhile, a mysterious assassin named Heartbreaker breaks into a rich person's home, a Mr. Valenti, and kills him by punching his heart out. In cyberspace, Anesthesia Jones heads up a meeting of the Undernet, the resistance movement in Transverse City that is coordinated by a group of hackers named Sirius, Cabal, Lady Ada, Crackerjack, and Mr. Slither. Their Anesthesia is wanting them to plot against Doom's presidency. And only a few of them join in. Sirius, Cabal, and Mr. Slither all agree to stay. And they say, well, what about the new marshal? He's going to be a problem. And Joan says, I haven't forgotten him. I'll be dealing with him personally. She logs off from cyberspace and calls Kylie and says that the two of them need to talk. Elsewhere in Transverse City, Ghost Rider is riding towards S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters. The gangs disappeared while he was digging himself out of the rubble. And the S.H.I.E.L.D. officers hate him. They see him as just a punk. And they tell him that the gangs, they're just going to let them kill each other off. And they use a controlled burn approach. Once they've thinned out their own numbers, they can mop up what's left. And Zero says, you got no clue, man. Those gangs hold this town together. If one takes power over the others, then the whole city's going to go sideways. But they're not going to help Zero. So he hacks into cyberspace to try and get some answers. And while he's there, he sees a file that has his old graffiti Zero tag on it, an encrypted message. But when he opens it, he's assaulted by this giant being that says, you pussbag, you sold out and you're going to pay. And whatever it was, it kicked Zero off the internet. It kicked him out of the Matrix and he can't get back on. He's locked out of the internet. So Zero goes to, oh, and Willis Adams, the reporter who was tasked by Doom to write pro-Ghost Rider propaganda, is trying to, and he says, I can't do it, and he deletes the file and he types his resignation. Ghost Rider goes to Mediquick, the doc in the box, and meets up with Doc Sandoz and threatens him in order to get his help, and Zero wants to know about White Heat. And he tells him that it's more like a potent version of the old Captain America super soldier serum that's been turned into a street drug. And through their conversation, Zero realizes that it was had to have been created by, there's only one guy, Max Synergy. Using the chemicals that Zero got for Synergy back in issue number 7, at St. Vitus' Danceteria, where Synergy has his office, he is attacked by Heartbreaker, who is there to kill him. But before she can, she's interrupted by Zero, who stands behind her and threatens to shoot her if she doesn't back off.
And that is where this issue ends.
Brian, what did you think of Ghost Rider 2099, number 15?
This is interesting because for about 12 issues or so, I think both of us have really, really enjoyed most of the 2099 Ghost Rider comics through and through, like from top to bottom, from the Kaminsky's writing to the various talented folks on art. Been a really great year of storytelling, and obviously now he has got a new status quo. He is the law now. He is kind of what he has always hated, and it's right off the bat, I don't get a hero vibe from the Ghost Rider 2099 anymore. You know, he's much more like he's kind of a villain. You know, he has now turned to the dark side. So I do like that a lot. And I gotta admit, I did enjoy that. If you had the physical comic like I did, did you notice there's a Judge Dredd video game advertisement for Sega Genesis end?
I did not. Let me go back. I've got the physical copy too. Let me go back and look at this.
So it's the same era, basically, for the listener. It's the same era. Yeah. So and last couple episodes.
Oh, I see it.
Last few episodes of the show, we kind of made a comparison to Zero Cochran becoming more of a Judge Dredd, RoboCop sort of. He's the law, but he's also kind of a dick about it. You know what I mean? So yeah. He's working for Doom, sort of thing. But so I thought that was a funny little thing having him in there. But I mean, to me overall, this issue didn't impress me. And a lot of that is due to the storyline for me is getting a little convoluted. Maybe that's just me being dense, but you know, I'm starting to lose it with that. And unfortunately, the worst part for this issue for me is the art. Ashley Wood's art is, I know there are fans of him out there. I'm not a fan of Ashley Wood's art. I don't know what's happening. The panels, I think, are the biggest problem because they're poorly defined. There's some instances where the panels are, that they don't really make sense how it's set up. You know, you have, something happening on one side, something happening on the other. And if you don't know where that dividing line kind of is, you don't really get a sense of what's happening. You don't get a good establishing shot.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest issue with this particular storyline. So I'm not digging what's happening here, and I think it's going to be starting to go more this direction for the next couple issues. But what did you think, Chris?
Well, so Ashley Wood's going to be the artist on the series going forward until the series ends with number 25, and the work that he does in this first issue, I think, is actually pretty good. I think it's a big departure from the Chris Pachalo, Kyle Hoetz artwork of the series first year, but I dig it. It reminds me a lot of Jay Lee or Bill Sienkiewicz. It's got that same style to it, and I like it. Now, Wood is, from what I understand, he runs into deadline problems, and in a couple issues they have to bring in an inker for him named Jim Daly, and the two of them combined, the artwork really gets bad. Like, it gets real, real bad. Almost unreadable bad. But here, I think everything is... There are things that I like about this. I like the splash page opening of Judge Zero with his pistol. I like everything with... Heartbreaker, who's the new villain that's introduced. I think that's interesting. Now, this less interesting is the stuff with the Undernet, and all of that's going to be a big part going forward. And when it gets into like the whole politics part and the different factions working against one another, I think that's where the series kind of loses me. And unfortunately, I just don't like this new status quo. I just don't like it. I don't like the whole I am the law bit. To me, it's not as interesting as it was before. I don't know. I think there's a big departure from the quality. Like, I still think the writing is really good. Lynn Kaminsky has a really great handle on the characters in this. I just don't like the direction the series is going. And I don't like... Okay, so... the Ghost Rider in this series was never a likable character. Mm-hmm. He was an interesting protagonist, but you never really liked him. But with this, you actively dislike him. He's almost like a fascist. Become everything that he fought against, that's sort of the point. But it's still, I don't know, it's just, I don't like reading stories where you can't really root for the main character because they're so bad. And that's mm-hmm. that's what this series feels like to me.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't know. I just I really, really love the first year, the first 12 issues of this series, but this is where it starts. It's still a good series, but it's not as great as it was. That's about all I've got to say about this one. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. We will be back in a couple weeks' time where we will talk about probably Avengers number 24, Ghost Rider number 2, maybe out by then. Who knows? Mm-hmm. As always, you can find us online on Twitter at InnerDemonsGR, Facebook at facebook.com/VengeanceAbound, and on the blog, vengeanceabound.blogspot.com. And also, if you want to support the show or the blog, we have now set up an Amazon affiliate where you can, if you go to Amazon through the Vengeance Unbound blog and make your purchases, we get sort of a percentage of that. So if you want to support us, if you want to help us out, that's a good way to do it. That would help us out a lot. Mm-hmm. But all right, until we have another new episode, Brian, I hope you take care, and listeners, peace.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.